you would, turn in the Bible to the Hebrews chapter number 2. The book of Hebrews chapter number 2. This is scripture that most everybody is familiar with, but nevertheless we want to look at it for just a little bit. Just a few verses. Hebrews chapter number 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or a reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? I want to preach a message this morning on what makes salvation so great. He said, so great salvation. That's our text. He said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? That Hebrew writer said, so great salvation. To some, maybe salvation isn't so great. To some, maybe it doesn't hold the greatness it once did. To some, amen. Amen. To some, amen, who's kind of fell away, salvation doesn't mean to them what it used to mean at one time. Jesus said this. He said in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse number 33, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things he's talked about, what the Gentiles seek, shall be added unto you. To seek first the kingdom of God, it must be a top priority in our life. But other things many times creep in, amen, into people's lives, such as making money, sports, amen, boyfriends, girlfriends, amen, their work, and they start to neglect salvation and give allegiance to other things that creep into their life. There have been severe accidents that have, resulted through neglect. Accidents that could have been prevented if one followed the rules laid out before him. I can remember back working at Rockwell, whenever a machine was down, especially if it was electrical, amen, they would put a tag on it, the electrician would, and that machine was not to be started or fired up at all until that tag was removed and the machine was released. But one of the employees out there, he went ahead and started up anyhow. Well, I happened to have a short into it, and he got electrocuted and killed. Amen, when all that spray, the coolant started coming out, and shorted out, and it killed him. All because of neglect. Amen, and not following the rules. Accidents that could have been prevented if one followed the rules. On March the 27th, 1977, two Boeing 747s collided on the runway of Los Rodeos Airport and the Canary Islands, killing 583 passengers and crew members. The KLM Boeing 747-200 began its low visibility. It was foggy. Amen. It started its takeoff without requesting or receiving clearance to take off. And it collided with another plane that was on the runway. They couldn't get off the runway in time. And as that airplane, that 747, started down that runway at low visibility, it was too late to turn back with all the power that he had, and a plane laid right in front of him. Several people suffered, amen, and died through that through that disaster. It remains the worst disaster in aviation history. But that wasn't all. Everybody knows about the Titanic. Do you know how big that ship was? It was 882 feet 9 inches long. The width of it was 92 feet 6 inches. The largest ship afloat at that time. But neglect, just plain neglect, lost over 1,500 lives that night. There were rich people on board, poor people, businessmen, and men of several different trades. But as the boat was sinking below the surface of the water, there was only two types of people on board, saved and unsaved. Neglect has caused permanent injury and even death in many cases. Neglect caused many lives to be lost in AD 70 when Jerusalem was destroyed by Prince Titus. Flat out neglect. The Bible says in the book of Luke, the 21st chapter, verse number 20, "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." Jesus said what? Flee. Depart. Amen. Don't enter. Excuse me. Those who ignored, those who neglected, those who took the message of Jesus lightly, suffered one of the most horrible deaths known unto mankind. Our text says this: how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We want to look at least three thoughts concerning salvation this morning. What is salvation? What's so great about it? And what do we escape in salvation? First of all, what is salvation? What's it mean? Does it mean join a church? Of course not. Does it mean just be recognized as a good person, morally good, kind and helpful? Well, here are some words that help that word salvation, help the meaning of it just a little bit. It means to be saved, to be rescued, to be safe, to be delivered. Every man and woman and those who are old enough to understand need salvation. Why? All have sinned. All have sinned. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And that's what sin is this morning. What? Coming short of the glory of God. It's a lack of conformity to the glory, the honor, or the dignity of God. It's a life that glorifies lawlessness instead of God. Salvation is deliverance from the penalty of all past sin. Every sin you ever committed, if you're saved, amen, you've been delivered from that. The penalty of that sin. It's just like I've told you before, like having a big chalkboard in back of me, and God's big eraser, taking out all those sins, even the sins you can't remember. God cleans up the whole chart. Not the future sins, but past sins. Let's read the Romans 3:25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in the blood. to declare the righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Remission of sins that are past. The penalty for sin is separation from God, His people, His blessings. Amen. We're looking forward to nothing but being lost. Dear friend, if you're not saved, every heartbeat brings you closer and closer to eternal separation and judgment. The deeper you go into sin, the stronger it gets, its grasp to take hold of you. And the more, amen, the more hopeless you feel. Salvation is deliverance from the power of sin. Well, let's look at sin in the Old Testament. Let's look at salvation, excuse me, in the Old Testament. Turn with me to the book of Exodus. Let's go way back to the beginning. Exodus, the 14th chapter, dealing with the deliverance out of Egypt. Let's go to Exodus 14 and verse number 10, beginning. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were so afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Amen. You no longer, amen, be a slave to wrong, to uncontrollable lust, to ungodly habits, to a disobedient spirit. Those who are saved are delivered. To those who have salvation are free. Thank God, free to follow the Lamb wheresoever, whithersoever he goeth. Revelation, the 14th chapter, verse number 1, we read these words. And I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as a voice of many waters, and as a voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers, thank God, harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne, before the four beasts, and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Amen. These were redeemed from among men. Amen. Being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouths was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Amen. Here he's talking about the people that were, amen, free to follow God whithersoever he would lead them. Amen. John the 8th chapter, verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. We don't have to be led around by the devil any longer, but we're free to worship God in accordance to his word. Acts the 22nd chapter. Acts the 22nd chapter, verse 25. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed that thou doest what thou doest, for this is a Roman. And then the chief captain came and said, and tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yeah. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum attained I this freedom. Paul said, but I was freeborn. Amen. The chief captain said to become a Roman citizen, he had to pay a great price. But Paul said, I was freeborn. Paul was born in Tarsus, our free city, and his parents were free. Amen. We are born into a free city, the city of God. And our Savior is free and makes you and I free also. Let us value this great freedom we have. Because of our Heavenly Father, we can say that we are freeborn. Freeborn into the city of God. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse number 19. Listen to the apostle. Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Amen. We didn't have to pay. Amen. For the price was already given. Salvation is deliverance from the presence of sin all around us. Thank God we don't have to sin this morning. If you have to sin, you're not saved. John the 17th chapter, the words of Jesus, verse number 15. I pray that thou shouldest take them out. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the evil. Amen. Right in this world, God is able to keep us from evil. In the shops, in the factories, in the grocery stores. Amen. Getting your hair done. Whatever you're getting done. God's able to keep you from the evil that's all around you. We don't have to sin, thank God, this morning. Although sin is all around, amen, through the power of God, we don't have to partake. Before I was saved, I used to remember that I had a desire to do right, but I didn't have the power. When I would come out of Rockwell International, I'd have in my mind that I'm going to go home tonight. But by the time I got to the light, the time to make the turn, I always went the other direction. Why? The power of sin. But I thank God when I got saved, amen, I had power steering like I never had before. Amen. What's so great about this salvation? Our God is great. That's what makes salvation so great. God is great. Psalm 77:13. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? The price was also great. God gave heaven's best. One who knew no sin. Neither was God found in his mouth. And he did it all for you and I this morning. Let's go back to the prophet Isaiah. Familiar scriptures this morning. Isaiah the 53rd chapter. Verse 3, just a few verses. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We had turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity or the sin of us all. What else is so great about this salvation? Everyone can be saved. Isn't that wonderful? The down and outer, the man on death row. Amen. The man that committed the greatest robbery there is, maybe. The man who stole the great amount of money. The man that did this, the man who did that. All can be saved. Revelation 5 and 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou hast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Thank God. What else is great about this salvation? The simplicity of the message is great. It's a simple message. It's a simple thing that God asked people to do. All he asked people to do is repent. Isn't that amazing? He don't ask you to do some great thing. He don't have ask you to study in theology and take a test. He don't ask you, amen, to go to a religious school. All he asked you to do is repent. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Paul writing, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with ecstasy of speech, but he could have, as educated as he was, or of wisdom declared unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you, he said, in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What else is great about this salvation? The changed life it brings. What a change. What a change that takes place from doing wrong to doing right. Let's go back to the Old Testament again. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel, 36th chapter. Ezekiel 36, verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness, all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit, thank God, within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. Amen. It's wonderful the change that takes place in an individual's life. Amen. What else is wonderful about this salvation? The fellowship. Fellowship with the saints. Wonderful. Turn with me to 1 John, chapter number 1. 1 John, chapter number 1, verse number 3. That which you have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Amen. Amen. Verse number 5. This then is a message which ye heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship. It's automatic, one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Fellowship is based on light and the blood of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Fellowship of the saints is precious. What else is so great about this salvation? The faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. God could just let you want your own way. He was faithful to our souls when it looked like at one time we were a lost cause. The 119th Psalm, verse 90 says, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." The book of Lamentations, chapter number 3, verse number 22, the writer says this, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." Why? Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Isaiah, the 25th chapter, verse number 1. The prophet writes, "O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." What else is great about this salvation? The fact that the Word of God is something you can rely on is great. You can rely on the Word of God this morning. God said it. It's there. You can rely on it. The 119th Psalm, verse number 89. "Lament forever, O Lord, thy word is settled." Settled in heaven. The fact that God does have a true church is great. Now there's a lot of things in this life, amen, we might neglect. And no doubt there's a lot of things in our life we did neglect. Some neglect their education. They quit early in school. They don't graduate. They neglect that. Some might neglect a job opportunity. Some might neglect the house we could have bought, the car we could have purchased. But friend, let's not be so neglectful that we neglect this great salvation. Standing at the judgment, the man or the woman who accepted salvation will escape guilt of the past, fear of the future, hell, lake of fire, eternal separation from God. And you will be so glad you didn't neglect at the judgment. You can neglect a lot of things in your life and still be able to correct them later on. You may get several chances in life, amen, to change things in the future. But you've got one soul. There's one judgment and one physical death. And you know, salvation is probably neglected more than anything else in the world. There are ones who no longer see the need of having God as a priority in their life. One soul, one physical death, one judgment, and a judgment every one of us is going to face. You know, you think about that. That brings a real fear in your soul. One judgment. one soul. No do-overs. Amen. No rechanging things. And as we bring the message to a close, this salvation, as we read, is a great salvation. Don't squander it. Don't neglect it. Or amen, or esteem it less. Because it's the greatest thing that you ever see offered to mankind in this life. So great salvation. What makes it great? Oh, so many things about salvation that make it great. Thank God you don't have to be led around by the devil any longer. Amen. Thank God we got the Holy Spirit as a comfort, a guide, and a teacher this morning. Salvation is great, it's wonderful. And if you're here this morning and you've neglected it, you need to do something about it. I tell you, and I'm going to tell you again this morning, you keep neglecting salvation, there's going to be something out ahead of you. Something is coming. And it's coming down that highway, and it's going to be unavoidable. You're going to have to face it. And I'd much rather face it, amen, up to par with God, than face it with neglect in my life. So great is salvation. What makes it great? One of the main things that makes salvation great, it had its origin with God Himself.